Living Energy Secrets, where we uncover the mysterious world of energy healing and how it can be used to transform your life, health, and happiness. For more information, visit us at livingenergysecrets.com.
Good evening. This is Deborah Thompson, and we are intending on having an excellent interview in our Living Energy Secrets teleseminar series with a very special guest tonight, one who has been in this business for a very long time. Also, Don Milton, my friend and co-host, my normal co-host, is doing better, but he's still in serious condition, and thanks everyone for their prayers and directed energy healing. We started working together with my nonprofit group, learning how to bring all sorts of energy work to bear on serious issues of health and wellness, and of course, moving on to financial and personal wellness. We are addressing root causes and not merely symptoms. He is highly skilled in his area and has high integrity, and he is a great driving force for our organization. But tonight, I thank Dr. Fern Caslow, or Dr. K, for graciously accepting our invitation to be interviewed. Dr. Caslow, a New York licensed clinical psychotherapist, business and branding consultant, and author, is CEO and founder of Caslow International LLC, Integrative Therapy PLLC, and the creator of the Caslow Method and the 10-second Caslow Anchor. I'm excited to know that. She's been interviewed and featured extensively in the media, including ABC News, The New York Times, New York Magazine, Carol Jenkins Live, The Gary Null Show, Dr. Joyce Brothers, and Natural Health, Working Mother, among many others. After a life-threatening illness and no positive results from traditional medicine, Dr. K became one of the early pioneers in alternative and holistic health. She focused on the mind-body-spirit connection in the late 70s and early 80s, a time when holistic health was on a par with voodoo. That's so true. We talked about that last night, that you are truly a pioneer. Dr. K opened one of the first holistic centers in New York and in 10 months turned a two-person office into a 12-person enterprise. Dr. Fern Caslow has always been about shattering limitations, but understands quite personally what that means. And she's here tonight to speak about some things she's not really shared broadly before. She was injured badly herself almost 2 years ago, and she practices what she teaches. Dr. K, thank you.
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure to be here. I'm very, very excited to be sharing what I'm going to be sharing this evening. And as you said, it's something I haven't been talking about, so I'm very excited to be sharing it with you and the audience that you have, which is very special, and I think will really benefit from the message and the lessons that I've been learning and sharing for a long time.
Yes, and of course, since these are all recorded and available to people, it's just going to keep on going and keep on sharing. I love this format for that. And I know that you do some really similar work. Well, tell me, what, again, I know I've heard a little bit, but for our audience, what happened?
Okay.
What happened? And now you are speaking not just as a, you know, a consultant and a highly successful person dealing with other people, but now you have your story to share.
You bet. And as you said, you know, this isn't the first time that I've had something major or life-threatening happen. And I think this is pretty typical of healers and teachers. We get a lot of life lessons to get us stronger, to teach us a lot of things so that we can teach and share. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are things we would have certainly not chosen consciously, and certainly there's some of them are things we would have preferred not to have had happen.
Right.
But, you know, they are what they were, or they are what they are. Mm-hmm. So what happened was almost 2 years ago, I had just gotten home from teaching a class in Los Angeles. It was actually a Rapid Wealth System mentoring program class. I'd come home, gotten home on the red eye, cuddled with, I have an older daughter and a younger daughter, cuddled up with my little one, returned some phone calls, and as she said, after this weekend, Mom, we're going to the movies. So we got in the car. She said, it's time for me. We're going to the movies. I got out of my car, walked about 3 feet, and in a split second, my life in some ways was forever altered.
Yep.
I went down. I slipped on a speed bump. Okay. I mean, people kind of said, you want to make up a more exotic story than that?
That's what I say about mine, too. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking I've got to come up with something better, but this is what it is.
And, you know, the interesting thing, I thought about that a lot because so many people teased about that. You know, you want to have a more, you know, exciting, adventurous story rather than you slipped on a speed bump and, you know, I ended up shattering. My hip went through my pelvis. I shattered them both. I shattered my arm. I did a number on a whole bunch of body parts because I don't do anything in a little way. You know, I talk about get bigger. Well, I do things in a big way. But I think that one of the interesting and I think very significant things was that it happened doing something very ordinary.
Yes.
It wasn't that I was on some great adventure overseas or something. And I've done some really incredible adventurous things, but come through all of those just fine. I think that part of the lessons, and they're only partly unveiled. I know there's so much more to come in my learning from this, but I think so much of it that's relevant for all of us is that we can be doing absolutely nothing out of the ordinary.
Right.
And life can change in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because people always say, you know, if you can only get what you can imagine. Well, I got to tell you, Deborah, I could have never imagined being down and out, not being able to move, not being able to feed myself, not being able to, you know, get up and, you know, we said the real story. You know, I couldn't even go to the bathroom for months.
Mm-hmm.
I had a commode 6 inches from my bed, and I'm somebody who is used to traveling around the world, teaching. I was on the road maybe 10 days out of the month. And always, you know, I just move and do and love life and I'm active. In fact, when they told me a little bit about how long it was going to be before they thought I'd put a toe down, I thought they were just, you know, crazy.
Right,
never happened. You know, I mean, I'd never been, you have the flu, so what? You get on the plane, you get in the car, you do what you have to do. I just kept on going and have always worked. Well, this was different. This was really, really different. So I think the fact that it was so big from something so ordinary is really a part of my learning and my teaching.
I know that it has been for me because I've been able to tell similar things, but what I'm really excited about hearing from you is that you had the tools to deal with that because you are already doing that with other people because you're just really busy. So how... You know, obviously you spent all the time in the hospital and had to deal with, you know, I know that I share and you share a lot of different really incredible stories about the hospital experience, as I call it, and that was not great, and so that's part of what I'm thinking and praying about for Dawn is that I understand that environment, so do you. So what happens? I mean, how did you accomplish?
Well, it's pretty interesting. I remember right from the very beginning, thinking it's a good thing that I have my work. It's a good thing because right from the beginning, the pain was incredible. Not being able to move, I imagine for anybody, it's just got to be something that's hard to describe. You know, when they kept coming in and saying, okay, can you move your toes? Do you feel this? And knowing that they're like really afraid that maybe I'm paralyzed.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was huge. And so I remember thinking on more than one occasion, it's a really good thing that I have my work. It's a really good thing that one of my real tools, and I actually teach people to use this as a tool, is curiosity. And I was really curious about this, I got to tell you. And so I remember right from the beginning starting to do both my energy work, hold my perspective, really thinking all of the things that I share with other people and have developed really from my own challenges and study with, you know, with great healers, developing them myself, teaching them myself. But yeah, there I was on a dime saying, okay, you know, now you get to practice. This is big. So I practiced and it was asking the questions. It was not going to the places of, you know, people always say, why me? Why me? Why this? Why now? And even though we do want to look at and understand the bigger context for things, there are some lessons in just accepting what is in the moment.
Yes, this is reality.
This is reality. So it's this interesting paradox of, on the one hand, I was incredibly curious about how this was going to come out and determined that I was not, I don't like limitations. So I really was not too thrilled with the ones that were imposed. I mean, I couldn't move. I was all I had traction all over the place. It was like, okay, there are things that I did that I don't even know how I did now. You know, really interesting kind of memory about stuff. But it was really sitting there and saying, okay, there are certain things that I'm not going to be able to understand, and yet at the same time, I was curious. So it was holding that paradox of being very curious and yet being okay, just moment to moment, not knowing.
Totally understand, yep.
And, you know, it was really
and being at peace with that.
You know, it really is true, because in so many ways, this was huge. I'm somebody who was active. I'm somebody who taught all over the world. I'm somebody who would have, if you would have told me I couldn't read for almost 8 months, I would have told you, you know, are you on drugs? I
mean,
cereal boxes. I couldn't type for 4 or 5 months. I couldn't open a computer for 30 days. So I would have said, you know, man, that's just not true. And yet, at the same time, there was an unfolding. And I've got to say that on one level, this experience was horrific, and certainly the hospital experience. On another hand, I've got to fess up and say, you know what? As bad as it was okay. I was okay. And one of my premises, and we'll talk more, I know, about my work as we get through this interview, but one of my premises is that one of the most important things about life is the grace with which you choose to live it.
That's right. And it is a choice,
and
exactly
a choice.
Like you say. And sometimes that's hard to make when you're, like you'll talk about, how you handle the mental issues, the emotional issues, because now you're not a caregiver to your daughters. They're going to be caregiving financially. So we all understand what an impact this is, but there has to be that choice.
There was the choice. And let me tell you, I could have had a lot of tizzy fits about it. It was, it was no fun in many ways. At the same time, I did have tools. I had my energy work. I had my principles, because my work, my background as a therapist as well as an energy healer as well as a business consultant has given me a really, you know, it's given me a very deep it's broad and deep perspective of viewing the world. And I knew moment to moment that I was making a choice. And so I could really get, you know, in a dither about the fact that I couldn't get up and walk, or I was in a lot of pain, and or I could just say, okay, how are you going to use this event? Like, how, meaning me now, not how are you, but how am I going to use this to grow me? And there were, you know, some interesting lessons. Like, when I really couldn't sleep at all for many months, about 10 minutes a night. I'm not somebody who's a great sleeper to start with, and then I always thought it was highly overrated until my little accident when I couldn't sleep. And actually, I don't really call it an accident. I usually call it an event.
Right.
I don't believe it was an accident. I believe that there was a learning, and it was an event in my life. So I could sleep barely. In the beginning, it was really no more than about 10 minutes a night. And sleeping was this, on the one hand, you needed to sleep, and I knew I needed to sleep to heal. And I didn't want to take medication. I'm very allergic to medication, and I didn't like that feeling of being drugged out. So it was like, okay, you know, I will be here, and I'll do my energetic healing work on the pain. But it was interesting, because when I'd fall asleep, the pain would be crazy. And so it's like, you knew, okay, I need to sleep, but if I sleep, the pain is bad. And it reached a point at one point where it was like, oh, man, I was telling myself stories. Like, oh, you're going to wake up and it's going to be painful every day. And I said, wait a second.
Wait, hold it.
Wait, hold on. That's quite an interesting story. Do you want to tell that story to yourself? Or do you want to wake up each day and see how it is? Because I knew that if I really kept going over and over about how bad it was going to be as soon as I fell asleep, I wasn't going to be able to sleep. I wasn't going to be able to heal. And I was going to create a reality that was not going to be one that I was going to like. So I had to work with myself every day and every night to say, you know, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but you do know, as a therapist, as an energetic practitioner, you do know that one of the biggest parts of pain is the fear and anticipation.
Right.
And so as soon as I stopped the story, and I had to decide to stop it, okay, and then I had to use my tools, and I'm going to share one of them on, you know, on this interview tonight. But as soon as I just made that decision, it would be a huge shift. Now, I'm not going to say I didn't have to make that decision sometimes a couple times a week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had to make that decision. But as soon as I would, the pain would be less intense. Because a lot of the pain was the fear of what my life was going to be.
Boy, that bears repeating. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is so important. And I know you've told that to all the people that you consult.
Oh, mm-hmm. man. And it's huge. I mean, and it's not something that I'm saying lightly. It's not mm-hmm. something that I will tell you was always easy. I knew when I fell asleep not moving, my body would just be way more painful. And so I would wake up and you say, well, you know you're going to wake up in pain. But saying to myself, well, you know, do you know that for sure? No.
No.
And is this story making it better or worse? What are you getting out of doing that? I always teach people, a lot of people say people do things because they're self-destructive and all this kind of stuff. I really have a very different approach. I believe that we all do the best we can always.
Yep.
Okay, always. Uh-huh. And so even if we're doing something that looks negative, there's pretty much always a positive reason that we're trying to accomplish.
Yep.
Whether it's to let out an internal frustration and we end up yelling at somebody, whether it's drinking to get out of pain, whether it's mistreating somebody for some reason that's very convoluted, but we're trying to accomplish something and we don't know the best way to do it. So I would really be talking to myself about what am I trying to accomplish when I say, oh, you're going to be in pain for, you know, every morning for the rest of your life.
Okay, I don't want to be.
You know, what am I trying to accomplish by that? Well, you know one of the reasons we do that?
No, why?
We do it, and I think it's going to make sense as soon as I say it. You're going to go, oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
We do it because it's a way of, we think, it's kind of fake, but we feel like it's a way of getting back in control.
Okay, being able to say what we think is, this is how my life is now.
Is a statement. Yeah, you're making a statement about, like, I'm going to be in pain. As crazy as that is to project for yourself, what we're really trying to do is say, okay, this is a really I'm feeling pretty out of control here. I don't know what's going to happen. I took a little slip and ended up, you know, with four procedures in the hospital and not knowing what the outcome is going to be. So many times we will choose to focus on a negative outcome rather than be in that state of not knowing and dealing with mm-hmm. the feelings of mm-hmm. being out of control.
Yep, I can totally agree with
right?
that.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. it's very interesting. And the paradox, though, is that when we accept that we really don't know what our pain is going to be like tomorrow or next month or next year or, you know, like the fact that I had no clue when I got out of my car, locked the door, and walked 3 feet, that the rest of my life was going to be altered in very significant ways. You know, if we're really in more control when we own that we really don't know and we're in the moment to moment to moment of creating that.
And that's okay.
It's, you know, that's actually wonderful.
Yes, and that is a wonderful way to be because as you work with people, I'm sure you do, it's almost like that's a new thought to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, this is meant for me. I have to get used to this. I just have to accept that my life is going to be bad from now on. And I always look at these people and go, why would you accept a fantasy?
Mm-hmm.
You
well,
don't know.
They're accepting it because they're trying to gain control and they
mm-hmm.
don't know another way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really is the best attempt that they have. And we learn that think about it. Think about, you know, everybody listening, if you think about your own history and what people say and listening to your classmates and your teachers, it's something that we teach kids, we teach everybody, really, to do this because we think that we're preparing them for whatever comes, that if it's better, well, that's okay, and if it's worse, they're prepared. But we're really trying to give ourselves a sense of control over what we can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that we can control, and I'm sure that you've had many other people say this on this series because I know you've dealt with some, you know, very insightful people, and I want to give us a tool to actually work with that tonight. The only thing that we can control is our reaction to something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Once it happened and I was down, the only thing that I can control is what I did with it from there on in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wish as I might, I couldn't go back and redo it. The only thing I could do was, again, choose grace or kick and scream,
That's it.
You know, kick, scream, be mad. And, you know, that doesn't feel really good. And you don't heal so well from
that. And sometimes it isn't just this verbal that you can say, I'm mad and, I'm not going to take it. It also can be that internal, that anger and depression, and it's not really being seen as I'm mad, you know, and that's a little bit harder one to see with people. But it's the same thing.
Same thing. And it's really, I want to be very clear with everybody that I'm not saying that you shouldn't be mad or you shouldn't be afraid or you shouldn't be in grief. I think we're designed to have all of our feelings. But what we're designed to do is have them and let them pass through us. I mean, our feelings are a source of the richness of being human. They're a source of information. I mean, you know, if you head up to your front door some night and you get like a feeling like something's off, okay, something's not right, you want to pay attention.
Right.
Okay, I don't want anybody ignoring their feelings. You go out like you get into an, you know, it's that old, you get into an elevator. Do you want to get in or you want to turn around and get out? You know, you have a child and they're going off with a friend and you've got a funny feeling. You want to follow your feelings. In fact, you want to get your feelings and your feedback system better and better and better and better. And you actually do that by being in a state that I call neutral. Now, I call it neutral for lack of a better word, because it doesn't mean that you don't have feelings. It doesn't mean that you don't have preferences. It doesn't mean you don't have passion. But what it means is that you're in a state where you can have your feeling, get the information, let it pass through you, and not get weakened by anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really my wish
good,
for myself and all of us, okay, is that we don't get weakened by anything. And that's really one of the big things when I teach energetic healing work, is that you want to have your feelings, you want to actually be able to read them in the energy field really quickly. And, you know, a lot of people say you get what you think. They talk about the law of attraction. I say it's a little bit different. And it's one of the reasons that people are confused. And some people say, oh, it works. And other people say, oh, no, it doesn't work. Well, it's part of the story. The rest of the story is it's not just that you get what you're thinking. Because, in fact, if you're doing, you know, sometimes affirmations work and sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. And people will ask me, why is that? And the reason is that you get what your energy is supporting. So if you're standing there or sitting there or lying there, whatever it might be, and saying, I'm going to be rich tomorrow or I'm going to walk tomorrow or whatever it is, and your energy isn't supporting that, you can say it and say it and say it, and not only will it not be true, but if your energy doesn't support it, you can actually have like a big, my brain is saying that just ain't true, and you can actually widen the space between what you want and what you manifest. We manifest what our energy is supporting, no matter what. So if our energy supports the things that we want, then we're on the path to getting them. And I want everybody to be able to recognize when their energy is strong, when their energy is weak, and then be able to support that and actually even go further, learn to recognize it and turn it around.
Right. That's wonderful.
Okay, so, so important. And the cool thing is that it's really easy. It's not hard. It takes willingness. It takes openness. It takes education because we haven't, you know, I didn't learn how to do that growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not hard. It requires a decision. You know, we're going back to that place of choice again.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm assuming that these are the qualities that are in the Keslow method, which that is basically how you dealt with yourself and had teach other people.
You know, absolutely. There are parts of it, and there are some others certainly for sure.
Uh-huh.
And let me share some of them. For me, one of the basic premises of the Keslow method is that everything, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about a physical pain, shattering your body, depression, weight issues, financial problems, doesn't matter what, but anything that's going on in your life that's a problem is really a sign or a symptom of some kind of disconnection.
Okay,
always. And it can be a disconnect from yourself, from your community, from your family, from source, however you hold God and source, but there's always a disconnection. Now, we're really pretty clever beings, and same as I said that, you know, we try and do things for a good reason if we don't always do it the best way. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we do when we get a what we call a symptom, and again, a symptom could be like my fall. It could be a headache. It could be a backache. It could be going through a lot of relationships and not getting very satisfied, or going through businesses and making bad business deals. Those are all symptoms. Now, the interesting thing is that we almost never have the symptom in the area that's the deepest, deepest issue.
Okay, I wouldn't have thought that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's not that it's not true. I mean, if somebody says, I had six businesses that failed, I'm not saying you're a liar, you didn't. Obviously, they had businesses that failed. Or if somebody says, I've struggled with my weight forever, most likely that's true, okay, unless they have a body image problem. But even then, they have struggled with that weight. So they're telling the truth. But if they were to change that weight issue, or if they were to change the business situation, which would be difficult to do without getting to the bottom line, but let's say they could do it, chances are it wouldn't stay. But the bigger thing is that it wouldn't change their life the way they think it would.
Hmm.
So what we do is we actually have a sign or a symptom that's in an arena that will get our attention. Now, I got to tell you that that fall got my attention, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it got, there was no question about it. It got
right.
my attention. So we generally pick things that get our attention, and it's different things for different people. There are some people that if they struggle with their weight, that's going to get their attention, where somebody else is like, okay, they don't really care about that. It's not a big deal. But if they had a problem with relationships, or they had fighting with their best friends a lot or something, that would get their attention. So we have a problem show up in an area that gets our attention, but then we really need to find out what's underneath it. What's the real disconnect that's associated mm-hmm. with that? Because we don't have just
right.
one, but we have disconnects right. associated with different things. We find the one that's connected with that, and then we can begin connecting, and I actually call it power connecting. We begin connecting, we begin healing, and we begin to really step into our power and getting the ability to create the life we want. And it doesn't matter whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional. It doesn't matter what it is. But we need to be able to determine when we're disconnecting, find out what it's about,
mm-hmm.
and then start to heal that disconnect, because every single symptom is a sign of a disconnection, always.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this is a basic premise. And, you know, it's challenging. Sometimes we can't always see what the problem is right away, and then
right.
there are still things that we can do. I know that as big as my event was, and I've had some glimmers of insight, everybody wanted to come around and tell me what it was about. You know, right away, everybody wanted a nice neat package. The most favorite theory of people was, okay, you go really fast, God was telling you to slow up.
Hmm.
And my answer for that was like, God doesn't call it a slow up bump. I never
mm-hmm.
heard that.
That's right.
Maybe God's telling me I'm not going fast enough. So I refused to get on that story. But what
right.
it really was is people wanted to be comfortable. Again, they wanted a sense of control, of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been pretty clear that I'm not going to really know about this fully. And it's one of the reasons that I haven't talked about this publicly in a lot of detail, because I have been waiting for more of this to evolve. But there were certain lessons, certainly what you've asked me to talk about, which is how I coped with it,
mm-hmm.
Is something that we can really talk about. So sometimes you don't know. But even when you don't, there are tools. Some of the tools are things like we've talked about, accepting what is. Okay, reality is what it is. No matter how much we argue with it,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to change it. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's being curious. It's having really taking 100% responsibility.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, now that doesn't mean blame.
No.
And that doesn't mean judgment.
Mm-mm.
And people often say, are you saying that people got cancer, that they're to blame? No, of course not. What I'm saying, you know, was I to blame for my fall? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
All the things that I usually do, you know, again, the universe gave me some really interesting little pieces here. So I'm usually rushing. That day I wasn't rushing. I'm usually wearing, not high heels, but a little bit of a heel. Was I wearing heels that day? No. Was I carrying things? No. Was I, you know, I was early for the movies. All the things that you could turn around and say, see, you were rushing, you were carrying too much, you were
baby. You weren't.
I wasn't any of those things. It just happened. For whatever reasons I needed to have the lessons that this event is bringing into my life. But I had to take the responsibility that one way or another, I was a part of the co-creation of this event for whatever lessons I've got to learn and to teach from it. So some of the tools really are taking responsibility, accepting what is, not blaming, being curious, thinking about grace. Now, these are, I'm rattling them off, but these are like, you could take any one of these, Deborah. If you used any one, I tell students of mine, when we're doing a program, I'll have them take one and focus on it for a week or a month. You could do one for a year and your life would change. Mm-hmm. If you took just one, if you said, I'm going to come from grace for 1 month, I guarantee you, your life would be different.
Totally. Okay, and how would they do that? When you say, I'm going to come from that, is that an intention? Is that a mindset? Is that now a thought process where you're asking questions? Or
it's all of the above and more, but really simple.
Okay.
It really is, it's making a decision, and it's not forcing. You know, if you tell somebody, you know, it's like that old don't think about monkeys and what happens. You can't help it. Somebody tells you you have to focus on something and what happens, you're all over the place.
Right.
So one of the things that I teach people is that there are certain positions, for example, and I'm going to show you one in just a minute, that you can get into with your body that make it almost impossible. In fact, I'm going to take that, really they make it impossible for you to be upset. And I was telling you about it last night. We're talking about that tool that I call it the 10-second castle anchor. Now, I call it the 10-second castle anchor because if I said it was 5 seconds, people wouldn't believe me. So, so I call it the 10-second anchor. It really, once you know how to do it, and tonight, or if you guys are listening to it in the morning, whenever you're hearing this, we're going to do it a little bit longer because I'm teaching it to you. And there's a free download of this on my website, so I'm going to tell you how to access that. But it takes a little longer. Once you know how to do it, it's in a moment. Now, I also call it the jig is up.
I love that.
And I love it. And the reason is because once you know how to do this, then it's up to you whether or not you're going to do it. But you totally have in your control the ability to affect how you feel and how you think, but not by force. You know, let me just give you a little example. I'd like everybody listening, I'd like, Deborah, you to try it right now. I want you to think about something that you've done through willpower.
That doesn't take long.
Okay. And I want you to feel what happens in your body when you think about doing something with willpower.
Mm-hmm.
What happens in your body?
It resists.
It resists. It gets tight, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
How's your breathing?
It almost stops.
It's almost stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Exhausting if you were to keep doing it, right?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And after a while, it, you know, kind of the bottom gives out of it because you can't sustain it. So willpower, you know, has got some issues. Now, I want you to try something else. I'd like you to think about something that you've done through not willpower, but think about willingness, just having the willingness to do something.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you think about willingness?
Almost nothing. It's just kind of a freedom. You know, it's like, it just is.
It just is. It's easy. It's light. It just is. All of the effort goes away. So I tell people that they just have to be willing to do what I show them. And if you're willing to do it, then the results will be incredible. Now, are you always going to be willing? Of course not. Did I have grace every single moment of the last 2 years? No. You know, no. I mean, you know, I am totally honest. I always tell people, you want to look in your teachers for honesty and for them to tell you what that they're still working, because as long as we're here, we got work to do.
Right.
So, you know, no, I haven't done it every moment. And sometimes my husband will say to me, oh, about that work you do, you know, is this how you teach people to behave? And I say, as a matter of fact, it is. I tell them to have a tizzy fit if they want to have one. But you know what? How long do you think you can do it when you're owning that you're responsible for it?
Right. Not long.
Not long. I mean, I have a great...
That self-pity goes a little ways, and
a
then you
ways.
Go, okay, pat yourself on the head and go, all right.
And I had a really great example of this shown to me a number of years ago. We had a power outage. And Con Ed, first of all, I called Con Ed. Talk about 100% responsibility. I called them. I said, when is the power going to be back on? They told me. And I took that as gospel. Now, I know Con Ed. You know, first of all, I should have known that whatever they told me was like maybe, but probably not, right? Long shot. That they were just saying something. So they told me something. I called back 2 hours later. I guess, you know, they tell me something else. And I'm getting a little mad and a little kind of curt. 2 hours later, I'm a little more not very nice. And by like, oh, we're at about 1 in the morning. Now, this is not great. We're cold. My kids are cold. My dogs are cold, but they're okay. But I have a little, I had at that point two little birds. And I'm like, oh my God, are my birds gonna make it? Well,
right.
At this point, I am like screaming at this poor clerk for Con Ed. And I figure anybody who like, you know, spouts this at this point, I'm thinking, is like, well, they've decided to take a job working for this kind of company, so blah, blah, blah. And I'm like going on and on about if they told me the truth hours ago, I could have evacuated. I could have gone to somebody else's house. I can't
right.
show up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going on and on and on. I get off the phone. And, you know, by now, like another couple calls, it's like almost 2 in the morning. I look at the clock, and I say, are you done yet? Are you done yet? You know, have you really, like, you haven't done anything like this in a really long time. You know better. Are you done yet? You have not treated this woman very well. You really should have known that whatever they were saying didn't mean anything.
Right.
You chose to, like, listen and take it like it was true and stay here till 2 in the morning.
Because
you
wanted
done?
To.
Mm-hmm. So at the moment that I said to myself, yeah, I'm done. I'm done with my little tizzy fit. That's probably the longest one I've had in a couple of years. But I'm done. Within moments, and I mean moments, I don't think it was 30 seconds later, my daughter, my older daughter, calls to me from down the hall. And she says, Mom, I just figured out what to do to save the birds. That was about all the lesson I have needed ever
yep,
since to
it.
Keep my little, you know, I don't have them often. I won't say I never do, but they never go on like that one did. It was amazing. And then she had a solution. She didn't know about the conversation. She was fast asleep. She woke up out of this sleep the moment that I made the decision that I was done and I was focusing on what was I going to do instead of all this other craziness.
Mm-hmm.
The universe then provided an answer in an instant. So I'm going to, you know, that's a little backdrop for what I'm going to show you guys now. So I always tell people that this is a choice, the jig is up, and if you don't want to be responsible, like close your ears, put the phone down for a couple minutes, or if you're listening online, like, you know, lower it until, you know, give us a couple minutes, because once you learn what I'm going to show you, the jig is up. And it doesn't matter whether you're dealing with a life-threatening, life-altering event, such as, you know, my fall, which I'm still dealing with big time 2 years later. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. How you respond is fully up to you. So let me show you what this is. And again, anybody who doesn't want to hear it and doesn't want to be responsible, this is the time to shut your ears. Because after this, the jig is up. So this is what I want you to do. Everybody who's still with us, I'd like you to think about something that's disturbing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want you to pick the biggest thing ever in your whole life because you're learning this for the first time. But I want you to think of something significant, not that somebody served you asparagus last night and you don't like it. You know, something that truly disturbs you.
Gives you some anxiety.
Yeah, whether it's anxiety or anger.
Oh, okay.
Grief. It doesn't matter. You can pick anything that you want to choose.
Okay.
Okay? And now what I want you to do is just feel what that feels like in your body. Okay? Notice, Deborah, while you do it, you don't have to share with us what you're thinking of, but can you tell us a little bit about what's happening in your body right now?
It's, I guess, and it's hard to tell emotion things. It's more just this, just that a sigh, you know, kind of like, oh, okay. This is still there, or I'm not sure what I'm going to do, you know, but it's more like just this, not a heaviness because I have done energy work on it, but just because it's a continuing thing and it goes on, like you say, you have to decide every day what you think about it and make sure that you're not doing stories. So again, it's more this sigh.
So what Deborah's telling us is she's done some work on this already, so she doesn't feel as much as some other people might.
Mm-hmm.
So some of you might feel a heaviness.
Uh-huh.
A weight on you. You might feel frustrated. You might feel just some really big grief, a stuckness. Probably you're not breathing very, very fully. So you're having
when it first happened, it was fear. That's what I had.
Okay.
And it was that pit in the very center,
okay.
Right at my liver level of fear, almost a piercing pain.
Okay. So these are the kind of feelings. And Deborah talked about, like we said, you know, there were points of my, after I was hurt, that I had to really every day say, okay, what story am I choosing today? But the other part is that as you learn to realign the energetic, I don't do that anymore. Now, I will tell you that I still do have pain every morning. It's not as bad as it was, but it's there. But I don't have the reaction to the pain. And it really is only once in every couple of months now that I'll find myself spinning a story about it. Mostly it's just like, oh, yeah, there it is, and I know what to do, and I know that it will pass. Okay? I take certain supplements. I do a little energy work, and it moves through me very quickly. So everybody can feel that. Go back to that space. You can feel the heaviness, the fear, whatever it is. Focus on it. And I want you to do the following now. I want you to make sure that your feet are straight. Don't cross your legs, but have them straight. And if you want to do anything, you can have them pointed in a little bit. And I want you to take your hand. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's your left hand or your right hand, but just take your hand, put it in the center of your chest with your fingers pointing towards your chin. Got that?
Towards your chin, right?
Yeah. So your fingers are it's like your hand is pointing up, okay? So your hand is in the center of your chest with your fingers pointing up. And what I want you to do now, it's really, really hard, okay? You got this? It's going to be really difficult. Look at your hand. Okay? Look at your hand. And all I want you to do is look at it and breathe. And here's the only thing that I'm going to tell you, because I found all kinds of ways that people cheat, okay, is you can't stare, you can't look up or down or away, but you can blink, just kind of a natural look. So you're not staring, you're not zoning out, but you can blink, you can move your neck a little bit, it's okay. Just look at your hand and breathe. And while you're looking at your hand and breathing, and that's the only thing you have to do. Look at your hand, breathe. Remember, your eyes can blink. Just a natural, soft looking at your hand. You can take a breath. You can move around a little bit. But you got to keep looking at your hand and breathing. And while you do that, put some, you know, some thought back onto that thing that was bothering you before. But you got to keep looking at your hand and breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And so while you're looking at your hand and breathing, what happens to that thing that was bugging you before, Deborah?
Actually, I'm not thinking about it.
It's gone.
Yes.
It's gone. I have done this with, I got to tell you, I can't tell you how many thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And now that I understand what people do to, like, hold on to the upset, which is generally something like looking up, looking down, staring, holding their breath, I will tell you that 100% of everybody looking at their hand and breathing, they change the energetic state that they're in. And when you're doing that, you cannot hold on to a negative, I'm going to put quotes around the negative because all emotions are, you know, are what they are, but you can't hold on to those emotions that get you stuck. They will move through you. Now, it doesn't mean that if somebody came into the room and startled you, you wouldn't get scared. But if you just kept looking at your hand and breathing, it would move right through you. Doesn't mean that if you got some horrible news, you wouldn't get upset. It doesn't mean that if you fell and you were in screaming pain, that you wouldn't be in screaming pain. But you cannot do this and hold on to a story. It is not possible. You can't hold on to a story, and you can't hold on to an emotional state if you do this. So now I want to say, too, that we don't work on holding on to like a good state either. Okay, that because what happens then is you get lost in holding on, and that's not the goal here. The goal is to live moment to moment and to realign. One of the things I teach my students, and it doesn't matter whether they're working on money, their business, their shattered hip and pelvis, it doesn't matter what. We're always looking at realigning the energetic patterns so that you aren't weakened and you're strong and supporting everything that you want for your life.
Right.
So this is the jig is up. From this moment on, you guys have to know that if you, yes, you're going to have your feelings. You want to have your feelings. You want to have your passions. You want to have your upset. Okay? You will get mad. You will get sad or full of grief, but you don't have to get stuck. All you have to do is be willing to do this. And there's a download of this that you can go to and get at my website. It is absolutely free.
Mm-hmm. Okay, also, just we'll mention, you know, because we normally give a jump-off point here, livingenergysecrets.com/Caslow. We try to make it easy with,
oh,
you know,
good.
Folks'
okay,
names.
Perfect.
So, yeah, livingenergysecrets.com/Caslow. And don't forget the .com, because I know I even do that myself. So it's
so,
all ready to go.
Okay, so if you go there, you're going to see a bunch of things for free. You're going to see all kinds
mm-hmm.
of other tools and things you can get to. But mm-hmm. I want you to download this, print it out, and practice it a few times, because mm-hmm. it takes a little practice. It's so different than anything we've done. But if you practice it a little bit, and I tell people, do this a couple times a day. Practice. Go through life and just take a moment and say, okay, am I feeling the way I want? If I'm not feeling the way I want right now, let me do this. You don't want to try and maintain the state, because if you try and maintain something, think about that right now. Right away you hold your breath. You probably mm-hmm. stiffen your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
You stop the flow of chi. Okay, just what we're talking about, we want happening here. We want to have the flow. We want the energy to support us. We stop it. So what you want to do is, when you're noticing that you're not feeling the way you want, and all of us can always feel freer, do this a few times a day till you get the hang of it. And then whenever you notice that your energy is heavy, or you're stuck in fear, or grief, or a story. See, before I clear a story, I do this. So,
okay.
Because one of the important things is, otherwise I'm clearing the story from my mind.
Right.
And if you try and change a story or a situation from the same energy state that created it, guess what happens?
It stays.
It stays. You repeat it. It gets stronger. It gets bigger. It gets, you know, worse if it's something you don't want.
Right.
But it gets bigger. It doesn't let go. So, you don't want to try and change. You know, people try and force their thinking. And it only works to force your thinking if you're almost already there.
Okay.
Okay. So that's why some people say positive thinking works. It works when you're pretty positive. But mm-hmm. one of the things that I've found with people is I teach people a number of different body positions that are simple. And if you go into any of those body positions, your thoughts will automatically change along with them. And it's much easier to put your feet or your hands, and it's not anything like standing upside down. I mean, these are really as simple as what I just showed you.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, then you automatically change your energetic, and your thoughts follow. Thoughts follow energy. Now, energy will follow thoughts. So if you sit there and go, I hate life, and you really work on that, you're going to change your energy. But the other side of that, the way life works is that your thoughts follow your energy, and that's
mm-hmm.
we attract what our energy supports always. So if we change your energetic patterns with simple body positions, you're not going to be able to sit there going, life sucks, while I show you certain body positions,
mm-hmm.
to be blunt.
All right, that's it. And I know that some of the questions that we've, you know, got here, which we'll do later, is, you know, exactly what we're talking about. It doesn't really matter if you believe this or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do this because
it's not about belief.
Energy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right.
You know, people, my husband is an acupuncturist, and he had one of the earliest licenses in New York other than the medical doctors and the Chinese and some of the researchers. He had, the number two license in New York for people that were trained in this country that were not in those categories. And I remember people, you know, this was, again, back a long time ago, and people used to say to us, you know, like, well, will it work if you don't believe it? And it's like, acupuncture is not about belief. Energy isn't about belief. Whether I believe that the sun is going to rise tomorrow or not, the sun is going to rise tomorrow.
Right.
Because it is. I have plates in my, you know, in my hip, in my pelvis, and I may do some work on transforming it, but right now, if I wake up tomorrow morning, whether I believe it or not, they're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this works. You don't have to believe it, but what you do have to do is be open. So there's a big difference. We used to say to people with acupuncture, if you are closed, your mind is so powerful, and it's one of the things you and I talked about last night, Deborah,
mm-hmm.
that you can change the biology, and you can create something that will not work.
Absolutely.
But if you go in open, energy is real. Energy works. It's not an opinion. It's not, you know, it's not because I believe it or Deborah believes it that it happens.
And
it
I have
happens.
To say how impressed I was with when we were talking that you are so science and evidence oriented, you know, that these things have not just got to work, but that we may not understand every little thing, but basically we understand where this is coming from. So again, science is, and life is, and gravity is, and these things are, whether you believe it or not, and they still affect you.
Right. You know, I mean, it's just, it's true, and it makes life a lot easier to accept that, because it just is. And then when you accept that, then you have the ability to create many things. But waste and energy on arguing about what is, you know, it just doesn't do it for me. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. And like we talked last night, and I'll plug again, I have read Dr. Bruce Lipton's book, mm-hmm. The Biology of Belief. I finally got that in, and I was stuck to that for a few hours, and it's an easy read, a good read, but it's an easy read because as a mental giant, he has brought it down to a level where everyone can understand, whether you took, you know, high school biology or not. And what he said is, why are we focusing on which drug does what at what level for whom? Why are we not focusing on the fact that in every single trial, the placebo groups sometimes did better or just as well as the drug that was successful? And he goes, why are we taking drugs and not finding out why the placebo effect works?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. It's because exactly of what you're saying, Dr. Caswell, and you've been saying it for many, many years.
And, you know, I didn't take pain. You know, I took pain meds in the hospital. I did. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, right mm-hmm. out of surgery, and it was tough because I was allergic to them. But I got home, and I said, no. It's like they were making me hallucinate.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
I took them for one night. I was hallucinating. I said, I don't think so. And, you know, then I used energy, you know, techniques and just worked with creating a different state. And I won't say that I had no pain, but I will tell you that it was really, you know, it was okay. There mm-hmm. were moments, but I definitely cannot tell you that I was in terrible pain on the medication also.
Right.
And sometimes I give myself energetic painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where I'm mm-hmm. creating very consciously an antidote to pain or, you know, some substance that I've had an allergy to because I'm pretty sensitive. But you can do a lot of this energetically as you study and learn to do it. So, yeah, I mean, what we were talking about last night, and I recommend Bruce Lipton's work. It's tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend
love
that
the guy.
People be open. You know, it's not about airy-fairy, just what you said. I like results. I've never been an airy-fairy person. I was a very funny person in that new agey world back when, because I would go to some of these holistic fairs, and you want to paint a picture. There'd be all of these people around, and they're, you know, a lot of, like, women healers in there, you know, those kind of dresses that
mm-hmm.
a lot of them would wear.
Mm-hmm.
And these are good friends of mine. I'm not making fun of it.
I love these people,
queenly, and I would mm-hmm. be in my, you know, kind of black New York suit. You know, my husband and I had one of the first centers, as you said, and he would wear a jacket and a tie.
Yes.
In fact, a lot of his earlier patients were like, what happened to the jeans and the butterfly shirt? It's like, well, we really knew, and again, you know, it's something we've talked about, that we really want to, part of our mission is to bring this to a population that really needs to understand in a concrete, down-to-earth mix of science and bringing forth energetic and holistic and Chinese ancient concepts in a way that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a very grounded person. I like results.
Oh,
yeah, I want results. I don't want to sit there and, you know, I'm in my body. You know, these are some of the places, and, you know, I know these are a whole other phone calls we could be having, but one of the issues that happens a lot for people who do energy work is they forget that we're humans with a human body.
Yes.
And if I can, you know, just kind of segue a little bit into some of my work with money and people in business,
mm-hmm.
is that to be successful in business, a lot of people will say, well, you know, what is an energy healer or a therapist doing teaching business and branding? And now I've come to say, why is anybody else teaching it? Because it's the same thing. It's all about finding the disconnects and what I call power connecting them. And it's all about being in your body. If you look at people who do energy work or who are very spiritual, if they're not grounded, they're going to have a lot of trouble with their money and with their business.
Mm-hmm. And why is that? Can you make a couple of those, that explanation? Because I think I understand, but I'm not sure that I do.
Yeah, and I know we're going to, you know, we have a little surprise plan for everybody. Can I spill it now?
Sure, go ahead.
We're going to do a whole call in a couple of weeks. And I guess I'm saying a couple of weeks, depends on when you're listening to this, so check, you know, the website.
Right. Exactly.
But we're going to do a whole call on shattering financial limitations, but I will give you two reasons right now. One is that, remember I said every problem or issue is about a disconnect.
Uh-huh.
So if you're not in your body, if you're not connected, mind, body, and spirit, what have you got? You got a disconnection.
Uh-huh.
And so if you've got a disconnection, it's going to show up in your life and it's going to show up in your business. And money is a tremendous mirror, a tremendous reflection of so much about the way energy is being processed or not processed, the way it's being held on to
right.
in our life. I mean, one of the reasons that I work with business is that, a couple of reasons. One is that it does give me access to teaching people that would probably not be listening to me in another context.
Mm-hmm.
But we go into the door of business and then we can really talk about things because it's the reason they have done so many other things and they haven't gotten where they wanted to go.
Because your money is where your heart is.
Your money is, you know, your money is where that point
yes.
of connection between mind, body, spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if
you're
not... Because
it gets you what you want.
It's an energetic exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And so I may not use that term when I'm speaking in front of a branding and marketing association, although sometimes I do, but money really is an energy exchange. Business is about an energy exchange. And there are many factors, how you feel about yourself, whether your energy supports you being big and successful or not. And I, you know, again, I'm going to save some of this for a call because I know we've been covering a lot tonight and I don't want to overwhelm people, but I want to give you another reason that people who are not in their body don't make money or don't hold on to money or, you know, is a cycle. They have an issue with money usually and however it manifests. And the reason is that cash is physical.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cash is very physical. And so it again, if we look at this reflection, you can't be an energetic being or a spiritual being that is not in your body and come up with the goods. We are humans. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And so money is a physical manifestation from that human experience. And if you're just up, and you can't just be, but if you're really in your head and up in the spirit world and not in your body and not grounded, then the things that are in that more human realm, and money is probably a major one there, you're going to have a problem making it, holding on to it, using it in the ways that you'd really like to use it, because you need to be physical to make the physical things of life. If you're not in your body, you're going to have trouble succeeding in the physical aspects of the universe.
And that I can see so true. Mm-hmm. And like you talked about some of those women and some of the people that you'd see at these things, that is exactly the way that some of these people are. And they're so wonderful and loving and they have all these things. But again, there's not that balance of understanding ourselves as that three-part being.
That's right.
You know,
and
mind, body, spirit.
Exactly. And I have a very dear friend who's a tremendous healer and, you know, really works in the energy field. She's just, you know, wonderful. And she makes money, and she is grounded. She, you know, she eats all kinds of food, which you can choose about, you know, what's right for you and your health. But
mm-hmm.
she's about, like, she loves the physical things of life. She loves money. She loves sex. She loves food.
Mm-hmm.
She's very earthy, so she's very spiritual. She's one of the most amazing healers, and I've studied with healers all over the world. She's tremendous. But she also is one that really does well with money, and that's because she has connected her mind, her body, and her spirit. Now, she's not perfect. Nobody is. She's human. But she does a wonderful job in all of those realms and deals with her lessons when they come up. But
mm-hmm.
she's got those connections, and she's very earthy. So because she's earthy, she makes cash. And she'll tell you, like, talk to me about cash, not money. I want that cash. I want that cash in my hands.
That's right.
She loves cash, so she's in her body. So the ones that are at those fairs that are more successful monetarily, and certainly there are many different measures of success.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I want it to be mind, body, and spirit integrated. And the ones that are doing that generally have the most connectedness and integration in those realms. And when you don't have them, when you've got the bigger disconnects, you're going to have issues in your health, in your relationships, in your spiritual life, and in your financial life. So I use the finances and business as an amazing door, because when you help people with their money, you've got to be dealing on a very, you know, it's a real strong level. So you make changes in money, you make changes in business, and you really have a doorway into making profound changes.
That's almost like that's another body reality. Like I say, physically, how you feel, if you've got a disease or a lack thereof, if you're hurt or whatever, and that's one thing. But then that cash, like you say, that is another. It is a reality because it is your spiritual exchange with the rest of your community.
Yeah.
That is your spiritual life.
It is, yep.
You worked for it. You you thought about it. You spent time in it. You had to, you know, do all these things to accommodate getting that, which is all your body. You know, that's your body, your mind, and your spirit after this exchange piece. It's very earthly, like you say.
Yeah, I mean, it's very connected in that realm of mind, body, and spirit.
And just before we get too far, I want to just remind our callers that, you know, she has said graciously that she could answer some questions. So if you have any, then go ahead and hit *2 on your phone so that we can line you up so that we have time. Because if everybody does, we might not have time. But for a few questions, we would love to have those. And let me just pass over a couple that I have had sitting here on our webcast line. And I think we've already taken care of the website issues. Let's see. There's one question that a lady from Caledonia has. It says, "Hi, Dr. K. I desire to shatter limiting financial beliefs and to create in my outer world the inner wealth that I am nurturing and growing every day. However," and then here's the however, and I can't wait to hear your answer, "I choose a husband who does not believe, or excuse me, who does believe," I think she meant does not believe, "in the quote-unquote witch doctor or hocus-pocus work method energy healing. How can I be of healing assistance to his chronic, intense, mood-altering pain?"
Okay, great question. Thank you. There's a couple different parts to this question that I want to address. The first one is, and this one really hits a number of different parts of this, this is one of those paradoxes again. To create what we want, remember I said before about neutral? We have to be neutral, meaning we have to be strong and okay whether we get what we want or we don't. So that Caslow anchor, you want to use that, and you want to go for what you want. I mean, anybody listening to me, you guys can tell, I'm passionate, I want things, I'm a go-getter. At the same time, I have learned through some really profound life lessons that the best way to get what you want is to really be in a state of moment-to-moment acceptance of what is and not be weakened. So I want you to be okay with whatever happens. So that's one practice. Before you do anything, remember we said you can't create from the energetic that created an issue. So if there are issues of financial lack, you want to go and to create what you're having on the inside, on the outside, you've got to be okay whether you create it or not. That's the very first step. And that is a challenge, but you've got a tool that will help you to do that. Now, the next place you've got to apply that is to whether or not your husband gets it, goes along with it, agrees with it. Remember, you can only change you. And in fact,
right,
if you go into this whole thing about changing him, you're going to give him more resistance and you're going to be off your center, off your path. So what you can do, the best proof, you know, this is an old story and it's always, you know, always just as true. The best lesson is for you to do it and make life work for you.
Right.
And then he can believe it or not, but for you to leave him have his path. His path may, at the end of the day, be to see what you see, or at the end of the day, his path may be to say, you know, I think you're deluded. I think that this happened for some other reason. And it's for you to really accept. No judgment, no blame. This is one of those things. It is not easy to do this.
No.
But one of the things that I have my students do, and my clients, that work with me, whether it's on business or whether on their, you know, their emotional issues or physical issues, is to really go through the day, not so they get themselves like crazy, okay, but to really be paying attention to our judgment. And we judge many things. For example, it was really easy to judge, oh, what happened to me was bad. Okay, right. It's horrible. You say, it shouldn't have happened. It was terrible. Well, that's a judgment. Now you say, but of course it was terrible. Well, I don't want to be weakened by it. I don't know. I don't know. You know, maybe being in my bed saved me from being out in a car someplace and getting hit and killed. Who knows?
Right.
We don't know. But I do know that when you go to center, you go to neutral, you do this anchor, and you take responsibility for you, and you practice not judging your husband as wrong. Really embrace. The more you can embrace and be okay about him being who he is, having the thoughts that he has, you will give him space to be who he is or to change, and in any case, your relationship will be way better in the process.
Yep, and that's just wonderful, excellent advice for just marriage counseling together. And I mean, I just can't, all different people that are very successful at what they do, that's one of their main things, is that judgment and those expectations. And you can't force that on other people.
No, if you force it, in fact, you will actually foster more resistance. And, you know, the truth is, I've been teaching this for 30-plus years, and yet at the end of, you know, a day, if you say to me, should her husband believe in this stuff, I don't know that he should. You know, that's his path, and his path with Source, for him to have his beliefs. I know what I believe, I know what seems to be reality for me, but I can't judge his thought pattern and what's the appropriate one for him. And this is not easy. I'm saying it, but I got to tell you, you got to work on it.
Yep. Well, and like I said, with the situation I thought of, I am working on it. And but the wonderful thing is that this situation has occurred since I've met Dawn and done some real excellent energy work with new practitioners, and I cannot tell you what a huge difference this has made. If this situation had happened to me like even 5 or 6 years ago, it would have been very fearful, and I would be constantly anxious about it. It would affect everything. And now, at the end of a couple of days, I'll go, oh, wow, I've been so busy, I haven't even thought of it. And it's like, oh, okay. And then loving people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, not judging their reality and their space. And, yeah, we can decide if we like it or not, if we think it was good or not, but to hold that judgment, like you say, inside where they're not measuring up to our standards.
Yeah, right. And I want to be, you know, I want to stress that I'm not saying not to be discerning.
Right.
Okay?
Absolutely.
I'm not talking about not discerning, because one of the things that happens is when you go to this place of non-judgment, you can actually be more discerning. And I'm not saying that somebody commits a crime, they shouldn't go to jail, or somebody abuses a child, that they shouldn't have that child, you know, taken from them, and that's an extreme situation.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am saying is that it's about judgment. That's not our role, and it doesn't further what we want to create. So discern, be more discerning than ever.
Very good.
Really, and the more you're in this neutral state, the more you're going to get sharper at discernment. You're going to get better and better and better at it.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, I'm looking through here, and I think, yeah, we answered those. And this one question from a Karen, and I think you've already probably answered it, help her back spurs. And like you said, you could go through this, the anchor for pain or for an emotional issue or just many different things.
Right. And, you know, one of the things, again, is I always look at any symptom, whatever it is, as a little bit of a messenger, and what's that messenger bringing to me? I rarely will fix, if I'm working with somebody, and I don't fix anything. I mean, that happens within us in our relationship to Source. But if somebody comes in and they've got back spurs, or they've got a bad knee, or whatever they've got, sometimes they've had it for decades, the stories of how we have moved that and healed that are just phenomenal. But I'll tell you that a hallmark about that is it's rarely by working directly on the back, rarely by working directly on the knee. It's by looking at those disconnects. And when you heal the disconnect, it's huge. And if you can't get to the disconnect, then what you just want to do is, for now, practice that anchor, because it will shift your field. But you got to practice it, not like it's a, okay, I'm doing this for this result. You're doing it. You know you want something to happen, but you've got to be in the moment of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you practice the responsibility, the openness, and these principles, and life gets transformed. You can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't mean every pain's gone. I still have a bunch of them. They're better than they were. I don't know how they'll be tomorrow. But I will tell you that you do these things, and you have tremendous, tremendous possibilities. Thinking about tonight, you know, tonight our conversation, I was thinking about limitations, because I talk about shattering limitations, and I kind of wonder about that word shattering with what happens to my body, a word I've used many times, but I don't like limitations. And I will tell you that even though I couldn't get out of my bed, even though for months somebody else had to lift me up for a long time, in the beginning I couldn't even feed myself, I will tell you I wasn't limited. I mean, it was a funny thing. On the one hand, yeah, no, I wasn't walking around. No, I wasn't going to the Westminster Dog Show like I wanted to. But I'll tell you that in a more profound and fundamental way, I was not living in a space of limitation. And none of us have to.
Excellent.
So,
yeah.
You know, whether it's bone spurs, whether it's a hip, whether it's a business, I'm going to keep coming back to the same thing. It's
that,
all
that
about
balance. Yes.
What?
That balance, like you said, of the mind, body, spirit.
The balance and that connection. It's always looking, where have we disconnected?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we holding on? You know, where have we decided it has to be my way, or if it's not going to be at all? You know, we have a recession going on. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, they only want to make money a certain way. Now, I've certainly had to readjust.
Yeah.
I just traveled for the first time a month ago in 2 years, and I used to travel about 10 days out of the month. Now, I could have sat there and said, well, I'm only going to make money by going and doing my teaching on the road.
Right.
Yeah, well, then I wouldn't have been making a whole lot of money the last 2 years.
That's right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You know, I learned about the importance of residuals in a much bigger way than I thought, because I luckily had a cushion, but I didn't know what was in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there are people that say, no, I want it, you know, that my way or the highway kind of thing.
Yep.
And we limit ourselves in all these different ways. So if you pick, I would love people to just take that anchor and use that. Use it. Do it a couple times a day. Use that for a month and email me. Because if you work with that, if you work with, you know, just one principle, you're going to find way more change than, you know, than what you would have planned. It's just tremendous. So, you know, pick a principle, pick that anchor, and email me in a week, in 2 weeks, in a month. You've got the website link. Let me know how you're doing. But I just want to tell you this, again, it's not about belief. It's about openness. And if you're finding something is not working the way you want, then I'm going to tell you go back and take a look at, you know, listen to this call again, once or twice or a third time, and listen to these principles and see which one is giving you the biggest challenge.
And another head questions, because a lot of people are so limited, and that's why I'm so glad you've been able to share about your physical limitations over this last 2 years and making changes. This person has a chronic toxic liver problem.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that balance of, like you're saying, where's the energy disconnect? Why is this happening? Why is there not healing taking place? And it isn't just all energy. Well, it's all energy because food is energy and your body is energy and all that. But as far as also looking at those issues too, like you said, what's right for you to eat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, practicing what's good for you, because what's good for me isn't probably or may not be good for you. And especially when your body is in a different state, if it's in a healing state, now you've got plates to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got foreign things to deal with. You have movement limitations to deal with. And I do too, you know, because of things I have. So, again, like you say, I love how you say it, you know, looking for those disconnects.
And then power connecting them, really going in and realigning your energy, making those connections, and allowing things to be, you know, we can only resist them. We can't change what is, but we can kick and scream and create a very unpleasant reality from one that just is what it is. So what you said is really important. You know, a lot of people, again, same as a lot of spiritual people, will say, I don't care about money. Money doesn't count. Well, money is energy.
Yeah.
Food doesn't count. Well, food is energy. And, yeah, there are going to be differences. Since my injury, when I drove for the first time, I found myself, I drove around the block, which is hard to, you know, think. Thankfully now, almost 2 years later, it's like, man, I can drive around the block, and I actually, you know, drove quite a bit longer and made a trip of about 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, which was a big deal, two and a half hours. But I remember the first time I went around the block, and I was starving. It's like, and I now drive in my car with almonds because I get, it's like, man, I can go in the car and drive someplace 15 minutes away, and all of a sudden I am ravenous. So, and I, you know, I'm shaky and I need to have that food.
Right.
So we, you know, there are levels. I could sit there and do energy healing on myself, but my body is telling me something.
That's it. I need some chemistry here.
It's not saying, hey, you got to go in and do your anchor. It's saying, okay, your body is a human body, and your body is requiring, in this recovery process, extra calories, extra food, extra nutrients. And then it's about learning which ones. I know on certain, you know, certain ways of eating support me and I feel way better. So what you're saying is a really important differentiation. It's not only, it's how we think, it's doing energy work, it's the food, it's, it, you know, the exercise, it's all of these things that make, you know, make us mind, body, spirit humans. So, yeah.
Well, we're coming down, unfortunately, we're getting down in time, and we can only go as far as the seat can stand, huh? And do you have any, you know, final comments for the people or any wrap-up or any other thing that you really would like to leave with us?
Well, I guess what I want to leave people with more than anything is that, we really can shatter the limitations and we can create what we want. And we have to do it with an openness, with a willingness, with an acceptance. You know, learn what you can. Look at our stories. You know, look at who you're listening to and studying from.
That's right.
You know, it's really important. It's really pay attention. Learn to notice when your energy gives you a little message. And not just your head, but really start to connect. When are you getting those feelings? Something's off in your body, in that mind-body-spirit connection. And I want you to become like, it's like really an alignment monitor. When you are out of alignment, when you're disconnected, I want you to have that alarm going off big time. And then I want you to really learn to do some of those simple things, simple but profound things we talked about, and really create the life that you want. I mean, life is awesome. It gives us those bumps, speed bumps, and other things. And yet it's just, you know, it's an amazing, amazing gift. So I really, you know, would love to hear from you. I would love to have you join us on the call we're going to do about shattering financial limitations. We're going to be, if we're chock full of information on this call, we're going to give you at least that much on the next call.
And be prepared with some questions because people, of course, when they people are new, like you are to them, they're just listening and they may think of things, so they'll get a second chance to be able to, you know, get in here live and ask their very specific question, which, folks, I have to tell you, this is a real treat. I mean, she's a busy woman, and she does a lot of things and is completely chock full in her family life and business life. So to have these opportunities, I really am very thankful.
Well, I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to spend this time with you and your, you know, to our, with our audience and to share things that are so important to me, to you, and to them. And so I so want to thank you for the work that you're doing, for the series that you're doing, and for giving me this opportunity
and
to
Mike's
really
done a wonderful job,
to share with everybody. So I thank you. I want to wish everybody just some fun. Have fun with it.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Caslow, and we will meet again.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us on this Living Energy Secrets interview. To access the entire series of free interviews with experts in the world of energy healing, visit us at livingenergysecrets.com.